Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful again for each and every one of you who will join us tonight via Facebook, perhaps the blogtalkradio.com platform. Either way, thank you. Perhaps you will catch this episode after the fact, after tonight. Grateful for you taking the time to hear what we have to say. We endeavor, as you heard with the promo there, to be an educational resource and to provide insight, support, guidance. Okay? That's our primary purpose here. But we're grateful for you to join us here on Talk Straight, this podcast show. And we'll be getting into some things. Got a special guest that we're going to be bringing next week. We've been talking to you about empowering in 2021 young males, and that is a staple of mine. Having said that, though, I hear the cry and the interest in hearing some things of how we can even encourage and motivate and empower young ladies. To that end, we have a young lady that's on fire. Millennial, going to come and lay some things down for us. And we hope to have her be a regular part of our conversation. We want balance. We want to talk about how we can bring our young men to work as one with our young ladies. We have to be in competition, but as one. But more importantly, she has a very, very powerful and interesting perspective in 2021 moving forward on family issues and some things that we should be thinking about, all of us, really, regardless to race or ethnicity or gender, some things that are important for us all to think about. So I'm impressed with her, and we'll have her on. She is a new podcast host, former military, and she's also in the insurance industry. So amongst a few other things, and I'll be delighted to bring her on as our special guest here on next week sometime. We're trying to get on either Tuesday or Thursday night of next week. But either way, y'all look forward to it. Look forward to it. We'll be talking more about her, and I'm happy to share with you. But tonight, usually when you hear of a gang, or talk about gangs in America, there is this picture of disgust, this disdain that comes with it, right? Because automatically, people think about violence and social destruction, rightfully so. in most recent history, we've seen in the media an over illustration of African Americans engaging in urban self-destruction in concentrated areas across urban America. However, the fact is that in America, gangs started with European immigrants, such immigrants as Irish Dean O'Banion in North Chicago, Italian Al Capone of South Chicago, and out of New York, Polish Bugsy Siegel. Now, we can argue that the behaviors of the founders of these gangs that are prevalent in urban American cities were heavily influenced by what they saw from these European gangsters beginning in the early 1900s. Tonight, join me as we talk about the history of urban American gangs. There are some things that we can learn from them. All right? We'll focus our attention on people like Larry Hoover, Raymond Washington, Stanley Williams, Jeff Ford, a fellow by the name of Edward Perry, and also Willie Lloyd. Okay? And we'll see the impact that these images, these Eurocentric images, had on the formation of these gangs. Now, again, I want to reiterate that what we see too often is we hear and see in the news is that it's black folk. Well, it didn't start with black folk. It didn't start with African Americans. We take it to another level, I must admit, but it didn't start there. More importantly, there are some things we can learn. Let's try to understand tonight why. What was the motivation behind the forming of these gangs? What is it that pushed them? We talked about the zeitgeist, the temperament, the mood of certain periods of time as it related to Brother Malcolm and King, who lived in a certain time that was almost in the same time frame of the foundation, the formation of these gangs that we're talking about. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. 657-383-0944. We're on with you tonight for about an hour and a half. And we hope to be able to share some most important things. And I encourage you to give us a call. Facebook. Call me now, 657-383-0944. We'll park you and make a space for you in our studio. I'd love to have a conversation with you. There are some brothers who have been kind of following us there from different cities. And here in Nashville, I'd love to hear from you. Let me hear from you, 657-383-0944. So, February 18th, wow, 2021. We're moving, people. We're moving. We're more than half of the month away already, okay? Our text for the night, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 4. They're powerful. They're a powerful message here. Verse 1 says, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Interesting. Now, what I see there is there's some conversation to children. There's specific conversation directed at fathers in terms of guidance and having a voice of authority for children. And when this happens, children can live a long time. When we think about the destruction that we see in many urban cities with gang activity, and we correlate that with the fact that in every case there is the issue of social despair, fatherlessness, single-parent homes, we ask ourselves, what can we learn from these things? Where did it come from? So that's our goal tonight. What I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to compare what the gangs that we're talking about, these major games. And there are a lot of different splinter groups, but briefly, I want to talk to you about these major games that the first and the second largest and perhaps the third that are around the country right now. Where did it come from? How did it happen? Okay, and then I want to compare that to the movement that we've discussed previously, some of the movements we've discussed previously, and ask ourselves and answer some questions about how and why, more importantly, what in 2021 can we do, and how can we learn from what has happened in the past. So let's begin. Let's begin there. I want to define three stages, from gang to gangster to gangbang. Walk with me, if you will. Gang, gangster, gangbang. A gang, very simply, is an organized group of criminals. Historically, that is what it has been, an organized group of criminals. A gangster is a member of a gang that engages in this criminal and often violent activity. To gang bang is to participate in this organized illegal activity. Okay. Are y'all with me? Now let's understand where this began in America. Let's put the set the record straight, okay? In 1907, there was a huge spike in European immigration to the United States of America. Reportedly, some 1,285,349 persons entered the United States, heavily populating southern and northern states. These immigrants brought with them nothing, reportedly, but the clothes on their backs. But they had a desire to make a better life for themselves in America. While they were not educated, most of them in most cases, they were not wealthy, nor were they familiar with the various cultures and things of that nature of America. They developed a street hustle, was made manifest through what we're calling gang-banging activity, especially up north. Despite the fact that they came from different parts of Europe, poverty and a desire drove these people with such characters as Alphonse Gabriel Capone, also known as Scarface. He was an Italian-American mobster, crime boss, a businessman, and he obtained notoriety during the Prohibition era and was known as the co-founder of the boss of the Chicago outfit. Folk glorified him in movies and what have you. You understand? Then you had his rival in Chicago, a guy named Charles Dean O'Banion. This was an Irish-American mobster, who was one of the main people that Al Capone fought with across Chicago in the bootlegging war of the 1920s. And you heard about how they shot across streets at one another and shot up one another all over, up and down, north and south. They went about their business. But then, out in New York, you had a fellow by the name of Benjamin Bugsy Siegel. This was a Jewish American mobster, was known as one of the most infamous and most feared gangsters of his time. Described by many as a handsome and charismatic fellow, he became one of the first front page celebrities as gangsters. You see how it became glorified? And our young brothers think they're doing something. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Realizing the failure, though, of many of the movements that I'm going to identify in just a minute, and looking at the notoriety, looking at the attention, looking at oftentimes, no matter how morbid their actions and behaviors were, the praise these foreigners, these people who immigrated over here, looking at what they got and the attention they got in the 50s and the 60s, the failure of promises through legislation, movements that said if you be nonviolent and you do right and you show love, you'll get a positive return. These promises that we're going to give you welfare, there's a new deal here, there's a new deal that's going to take care of you. We're going to look out for you. These young men said, no, we ain't feeling it. Because in our neighborhoods, in the 50s and the 60s, we're poor, and we find ourselves struggling every day, fighting for crumbs, essentially. You see, you had housing projects that began to develop in the 40s. In 1951, Eisenhower pushed a major housing deal across the U.S. And basically what this did was concentrate populations of Afro-American people, Negro people, as they were called, after during the time. So all of their lives and their social orientation, not everybody, but many of them, particularly those that grew up in urban America, as it developed from this period, this zeitgeist of the age, they were forced together. So how did they deal with the pressures, the social economic pressures of the time that forced them together, that kept them where they were always bumping up against one another? Well, in Chicago, a fellow by the name of Larry Hoover, thinking that he needed to protect the interests of his little block, his little neighborhood, and his friends, both physically and economically, who was he protecting them from? Was he protecting them from the white gangsters, the mobsters? No, in his mind, from other black people that had a slightly different view from him. He formed the Gangster Disciples, which is now notably, according to the FBI, one of the largest gangs across the nation. During the mid-60s, a fellow by the name of Jeff Fort learned about the teachings of a religious ideal that was focused on educating Negro, black, and color folk about their origin in Africa and Morocco. He formed the El Rukins. The El Rukins, we claim, was a religious group, but what we saw was a manifestation of nothing but black gang banging. Unfortunately. Okay? Well, somebody may ask you, though, Doctor, why are you talking about this? Are you glorified? No, I'm saying that's something we can learn. Something we can learn. Jeff Ford was looking for a sense of identity and purpose, along with the others who followed him, just as Larry Hoover was, but he wasn't the only one. A brother by the name of Edward Perry started the Conservative Vice Lords, and it later grew and expanded into other things, and it was led by a fellow named Willie Lord, right? Their claim was that, listen, we want economic development. We want social growth and development in our neighborhood. In fact, Edward Perry had such a powerful message that a Presbyterian minister joined his effort and went to the University of Chicago to try to get help for him. And he got a few grants and things of that nature. Unfortunately, though, the leadership was not in place to keep it right. So the Vice Lords grew largely into yet another gang or gang-banging organization engaged in, unfortunately, illegal activity. Out west, Los Angeles, California, young brother left the New Orleans area, Louisiana, because of hard times, and was sent up to live with his daddy out in California, and found more hard times out west. Stanley, his nickname was Tukey Williams. And all he learned how to do was to fight to get what he wanted and to defend himself. So he formed the Crips, which is a notable gang around the country now. The Crips, in response to his perceived need for self-protection and self-production. Anybody that came up against him and his gang were going to catch drama. The Crips. Well, can you imagine how on the other side of town in Compton, California, where these were other black folk that looked just like Stanley Williams. This brother by the name of Raymond Washington said, look, we gotta lock ourselves down too. We gotta look out for ourselves. And he was largely a leader in the Pierce Housing Project of Compton, California, and formed the Bloods. And their whole get up was to protect themselves against what they perceived the Crips were going to take away from them. To this day, infamously, the feds are constantly following, watching, and examining the efforts of those who are associated in one way or another with gangster disciples, vice lords, Crips, or the Bloods. Now, what you don't hear about, though, is the Italian Mafia. You don't hear conversation about Capone's people, about Bugsy Siegel's people, and about the organization of these people that were once poor, just like these black folks that started the Gangster Disciples, the L. Rookins, the Vice Lords, the Crips, the Bloods. Why don't you hear about them? What happened to them? Did they just evaporate? No, they didn't. Here comes the lesson. These young brothers lived during the time of the, well, in part, some of the generation from 1920 to about 1966. So what was going on then, Doctor? You know what a movement is? I told you what a game was, right? But a movement is a series of organized activities and efforts that are geared toward promoting, obtaining a certain end or cause or result. Even though these brothers were in these urban cities where movements start, movements like in 1920, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, led by Brother Garvey. 1930, the Nation of Islam, led by Wallace Fard Muhammad, and later taken on leadership by Elijah Muhammad. In 1957, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference that was started by Ella Baker and led by largely by Dr. King, right, and others. In 1960, you had students for Nonviolent Coordination Committee. They were there focused on some things. John Lewis became a central figure there. In 1966, Brother Bobby Seale, Huey P. Newton, decided, these were college students now, that they wanted to try and make life better for their people. And they formed the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Interestingly enough, though, it was from these movements, largely, that these gangs were motivated, because the idea of self-determination was there, but the lack of real leadership and the fact that there was a disconnect from some of the best organizations that we just heard about, their themes and a blueprint for young folk to be engaged in. It was missing. There was a disconnect. So it begs the question, why is it that they follow the negative aspects of European gangbangers and did not tap into the principles of the movements of the elders that preceded them? That's the question we want to answer tonight. That's what we want to talk about tonight. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to take this conversation. And I want you to join us, 657-383-0944. What happens is, a lot of times, young guys make the case we're being racially profiled. They're trying to get us. In fact, this little brother right here, listen to what he said. Living large, but yet some somebody said he's riding dirty. They want to criminalize his urban appeal, his pizzazz, his style, right? Because they've been associated with so many negative things that didn't begin with Negro, Black, and Colored folk, but started with our white brothers who came over in the early 1900s, modeled those things. But yet, Pastor Waller, the movements we talked about that had the greatest potential, somehow there was a disconnect. And these young cats didn't know much about these or didn't care about them, at least anyway. That's what the record shows. What do you think about that, Pastor Waller?
Well, off time. What's happening, Pastor Doc?
I'm good, man. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, man. It sounds like, you know, when you listen to things that can get in your ears, and it has a form of putting it out there for you to like it or not.
Yeah.
And when someone like it and get with it, it's the excitement that calls a person to, I'm just talking about my own experience.
Yes, sir.
Hearing things that could send you down a different avenue than the righteous one. That means there's only two avenues to travel. One is righteous and the other one is unrighteous. And when you're like I was, ignorant and not being aware, you know, I can easily be influenced, if you will. That actually what takes place most of the time. And then once the flow started going, you don't have to be anything very big or just a little taste of it cause you to want to stay with it or get out of it, you know. Either way, it's going to become knowledgeable, if you will, to know whether you're going to stay with it or not. And that happened to me because I know words are powerful, and then when it got in my ear, I was able to hear it, lock it in, and then I took my eyes and I was able to see. And all that excitement, I just had to get involved. And that's what the lure is. If I can be lured in, and that's what it's about. So it happens. It happens, brother, you know, to the most innocent people on this earth. And that's just the way it is. Some, you know, it's passed down, you know, but others just, you know, get a taste of it and say, hey, this is not bad. I'm going to stay with this, and before you know it. And before you know it, brother.
They caught up.
Yeah, it can happen quick.
I appreciate that. Let me, we're joined by St. Louis as well. St. Louis, any thought about where the disconnect came from in terms of the movements that were there, prevalent, the examples that were lived and demonstrated, as opposed to some of these negative things that they picked up in movies, and even some of them lived and saw on the streets. Any thought about that, single?
Well, your movements was gangs, too.
What? Wait a minute now. Come on now. Why do you say that? Explain that to me, single. Why do you say that? We're talking about SNCC. We're talking about SCLC. You know, we're talking about the Universal Negro Improvement Movement. That's what I'm talking about.
It was out the money.
It
was out the money.
That's true.
It was out the money, and they would come up with some sort of program, and they'd go to whites and beg for money. Who else gonna give it to them?
Well, watch this though. Can you appreciate how when you look at the nature of the game and function, they engaged in illegal means of obtaining their money, though. You see what I mean? And I don't know if it's fair to say that these movements engaged in illegal means, irregardless of whether or not you agree with how they raised their money. You see what I'm saying?
Well, it depends. Sharpton didn't
get
his money all the time from legal means with Tawana Brawley and some other things that went down.
You got go ahead.
Yeah, he got the Rainbow Action Network. Jesse Jackson was shaken down, of course, threatened to boycott people, that's coercion, and maybe even quid pro quo. So Al Capone gave food to the hungry.
Okay.
Yet and still, they engaged in things at the time that they engaged in. You had gangs all the time, going back in the ancient times, you had gangs.
Sure.
Gangs in the Old West, Wyatt Earp and them guys. And, yeah.
No doubt. No. Well, but I want, let's say, Louis, I appreciate that, but let's stick with the context now of these urban gangs, i.e. the Gangs of Disciples, the Vice Lords, the Crips, the Bloods, because they're, to this day, believe it or not, they have a tremendous presence. Okay, and they have a tremendous influence on what's happening in a lot of urban cities across America, our target area. And what we see as we analyze it is that there's a direct connection to their founders and some of the negative examples. But what I find interesting is that somehow they didn't connect with these movements that, in my view, have some very positive goals, some positive principles.
They didn't want to. They want to, and here's the thing: it's an enterprise that they put together. That's basically what it is. And the enterprise, in the cases where they indulged in illegal stuff, or it's not illegal stuff. Even in Action Network, they got people that's on the payroll. Jesse Jackson, Rainbow Push has people on the payroll. He has accumulated several million dollars in personal wealth. I guess so. That's what it's all about. And they're competing for the same thing.
I got what you're saying. I don't want to use.
I mean, look at your churches. Your churches do the same thing. Look at Leroy Thomas. Money cometh down. Look at them thousands and thousands of people that's sitting in the audience. They come down and drop money on the steps.
But now you're saying that's illegal. And by the definition of
I didn't
of
say
the
it's
law,
illegal. I said that's their purpose, that's what they do.
Well, okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Now,
that.
I was in a gang.
What?
It's called the Boy Scouts of America. We had fun.
Wait a minute now. I was a scout leader. Now, that ain't no gang. Now, hold on. Stop it. My son was in there, and I was a scout. I was over his troop. Now, come on now. Back up for a second.
That was fun.
Stop it.
Yeah.
All right. Hold tight, singles. Hold tight for a second. Welcome, 4756 out of New Orleans. I'm sure you probably want to weigh in on this. We're talking about the history of urban American gangs and the things that we can learn from. We're not here to down them, to knock them, but there are some things I believe, as Pastor pointed out, we can learn from. These were young, impressionable young men who I would argue were without the right leadership and guidance, and what they started turned into a very negative thing. I got a Facebook comment as well. But go ahead, New Orleans, and then we'll go to Facebook.
Well, I had read your description of your show where you were trying to give a history of what are called gangs in the United States. And I just want to say that the gangs that many of our black youth are part of exist in a different nature than the white gangs that you had. What you found is you found that the local authorities in these cities and even the government and many times cooperated with these gangs, utilized them for services. So in the big cities of New York and Chicago, your local politics was tied into what was called ward bosses. And so many of these ward bosses would utilize gangs to beat up and rough up any opposition, or go to the polls and beat up people at the polls. During World War II, the United States government consulted with the Italian mafia to observe the docks in New York for any suspected German incursions. It is said that the assassination of Kennedy was done by mobsters, and that elements of the CIA consulted with them on how to kill not only Kennedy, but even Fidel Castro. So I think
New Orleans.
You have
right.
Pardon?
Out of New Orleans. It came out of New Orleans.
Well, Carlos Marcellus was one of the individuals, but they had another guy out of New York. I can't think of his name that was specific. But my point is that you see a cooperation with law enforcement and with politicians and the officials at the highest level of government with white gangsters. And what you see with what we call black gangs, what we see is we see a sort of setup where they're used to be the low totem pole of something that benefits those at the top, but when it's time to go to jail and fill up the prisons, that's what they use for.
Good point.
Now,
good point.
You remember the story? You remember the story of Freeway Ricky Ross out of California, the crack dealer, and how he told how he got his crack, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. Let me hold right there. I've made a lot of that point in the monologue, and that was the point of the monologue, that the influence did not come out of the black experience or the Negro experience. It came from examples. But let me go to Facebook for a second. My sister here makes a very powerful point. Sister J, I'm going to call her. She says the gangs in Chicago started the Live Black Pray Black Now. What? She asked, remember, everybody died that didn't believe in white control. In other words, I think the point she's making is that black people were only killing black people. The enemy that they identified even then in the 60s and the 70s as the man, the white man, was not the one that they were going after. They were killing one another. And again, the point here is that was this mutated idea, which was driven, I believe, by a desire for self-determination, for protection, for providing for themselves, but where, and what I say, gentlemen, that's the reason I brought in the movements, because there were a lot of very strong principles in those movements that I identified, such as the Universal Negro Improvement Movement. Some people don't agree with me. I get that.
Now, Ray, I want to say something,
hold on,
too.
Hold on one second. Let me finish. Then I'll bring you back in. A lot of people may not agree. I get that. But as a student of history and one who's examined these movements thoroughly, I believe that there were some very powerful things that if people like Willie Lloyd, like Edward Perry, like Larry Hoover, Jeff Fort, and I went to school with Jeff Fort's son, okay, people like Stanley Williams and Raymond, if they had an opportunity to engage people like Eldridge Cleaver, they had an opportunity to engage Dr. King and Brother Lewis and others like that. I wonder if that would have been a more positive impact on the outcomes of their efforts. But that's the point that I want to make. Go ahead, Dad, New Orleans. What were you going to say now?
We do know from the Freedom of Information Act, from FBI records, that Fred Hampton was negotiating with the gangs to come to a truce in peace. But to do that was a threat to the local police. And we know Fred Hampton also was meeting with white gang members in Chicago. People forget about the white projects in Chicago and the poor whites from southern Illinois and Mississippi that went to Chicago. Fred Hampton was talking with the poor whites because that was considered a threat by the U.S. government to have peace among groups. And let me say this, too. We know the whole game of running the numbers was created by black people. And it was in New York when Dutch Schultz wanted to move in on the black people because they're making so much money running numbers. So we see that when black people are successful in making money among themselves in the underworld, that's where the racism comes in, because now the white authorities want a piece of the action or move blacks out all together.
Okay. Now, hold tight right there, New Orleans, because we happen to have someone who I think who can speak from authority from the position of a young man in an urban area who got caught up by what was prevalent and dominant on the streets. today that's not his story. And you hear him talk about it all the time. And he tells us very, very deliberately that he don't trust himself anymore. But Pastor Waller, you kind of spoke to this earlier. Will you talk about how easy it is? And, of course, I grew up in an urban city myself. I can appreciate that. But his book and his writing speak to how he dealt with that. It didn't come easy, did it, Pastor Waller? Being able to shake off that powerful effect that the streets has on a young man without guidance, without the right example. Talk to that for a second about that.
You know, that's why it's important to know that when you have an experienced player, you know, that's been in the game, you know, it's more prevalent to be open-minded, to hear evidence of something, you know, and it's almost like I can speculate, I can say this. That's why I don't say anything about none of those other people, because I don't know. But in my experience, I was in the game, and it was not easy to get out of it. And it wasn't because no one tried to keep me in it. It's just that when you get entangled, I'm talking about myself, and I have to use the word you, because it was me. And I was lured into a lifestyle. I was curious. I got captured, got caught up, and I carried it out. And I like to destroy my whole community. And they can call it a game. They can call it what they want to call it. I call it what it is. It's captivity. And I was controlled by it. An innocent little kid I was. Yes, that's what I was. Wasn't thinking about no game. Wasn't thinking about trying to corrupt my community. But it happened. And that's an experience. So it is not easy to walk away from something that's so attractive, especially when it gets a grip on your mind and you don't know nothing about scriptures. You don't know nothing about God. I'm talking about me. All I knew that the money and the lifestyle took me for a ride. And it hurt so bad because it brought a lot of harm. It wasn't nothing good about it. And I know people would say, oh, he was a good guy, though. No, I was a terrible example. That's what I was. But I had to admit that, Pastor Dockery, in order for me to face it, to deal with it, and to say, what can I do to help another young person to not go down that pathway? That's my concern. All that other stuff, I ain't getting it, all that other stuff, because you're going to take me away from what I know the truth is. The truth is it's going on as we speak. As we speak, man, it's going on, and someone is being lured in right now on every side of town, on different cities. A young person is being lured in for the very first time. I made $15, man. Could you imagine $15? And look at the damage I did to my community just with the $15. So it's not hard to get money if a person want to get money, but you don't know the trap that you're in. I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn it back over to you. 2 Timothy speaks very clearly. It says in verse number 26, and I love that scripture, because when I think about that scripture, I say, man, just think about how I had known that. What would I have done? But I can say it today. I don't have no Bible open, but 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says, that we may come to our senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The devil has a will, and if you're captive by it, you're going to do his will. I don't care who you are. If you're captive by it, and he don't take no prisoners. You don't care what family you came out of. If you ever try it and you like it, that's the trap, man. And that's what's going on with innocent kids right today. And that's why the harm is being brought. That's why the killing is being brought up on one another, because of that. And I'm not blaming nobody who set the trap. I just know that that's what I just got out of, man. I escaped the trap, and I'm so glad I did, man.
Let me stay right there. I want you and St. Louis to have a dialogue here. Can you, not St. Louis, I mean New Orleans. New Orleans, can you appreciate the point that we're trying to iterate here, that there's something that we can learn from this experience? Now, I can tell you that I grew up in it myself. So I can share some things with you as well. But this is an academic discussion. Your point is well taken, New Orleans, that there were a lot of very, very negative Eurocentric examples of poor whites that had a tremendous impact. And sometimes to this day, the Scarface image and these movies and what have you and media still are playing these games in young folks' heads today to where they can never face reality. Can you respond to some of what Pastor Waller lived himself and in relationship to what you were saying about some of those negative examples that were there? So you're right. You can't blame these urban American youth for being caught up. New Orleans?
No. Well, I think what I'm saying is that based off your show description in reference to these white gangs, my point is that even overall in society, the white gangs had a different status than black kids and young people who in what we call gangs. The society, okay. the authorities relate to them differently. The white gangs, out of all of the white gangs you mentioned in your description, were in a sense tolerated by the authorities.
Okay.
There were cooperation and collaboration between law enforcement and the white gangs. What I'm saying is that the black youth who are in what are called gangs are set up to be at the lowest totem pole of the underworld. And so when you have to lock people up and put them in jail and use a face of criminality, that's who faces you use.
All right. So let me ask you this. In your view, what is it that we can learn from both case scenarios that today in 2021 can snatch this mentality, this gang mentality that our young people are caught up with? Not everybody, but too many of them. How can we take what we know and turn that around? That's the real answer that we need.
I think where we are wrong in the approach is to isolate our young people as the sinners, as the evil ones, and not look at the world that have produced them, not look at the world that have segmented them to the bottom. You see, in other words, we can pull out flames from the fire of hell and throw on one group of people as sinners, but not see people who have more power, relatively speaking, than them, and not throw the flame from the fire of hell on them.
Interesting.
There used to be a song you used to sing, "We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world was turning." These young youth, articulate concern for, need to understand that they didn't start this fire.
A good point. That's a great point you're making, sir. I agree with you 100%. And to that point, New Orleans, as we engage it, you didn't start this fire. This is not your mess. You got caught up in it, but it ain't your mess, right? But guess what? Because you're in it, to some degree, you have to manage and deal with the ownership of the mess that you created from. So I agree with you. And I agree with your basic point there. Right quickly, then we're going to recognize another call.
Yeah, we already know from government intelligence and other accounts that the distribution of crack cocaine into the United States is directly related to U.S. foreign policy relations and policies in the CIA. You already know that.
Okay. And I kind of hinted on that the other night when we were talking about who some of the players were with the FBI and CIA historically. See, all you got to do is read their history. You don't have to make nothing up on them. You ain't got to lie. Just look at their history. Look at the records. What a lot of people don't do is read the records that are in the Library of Congress and that are stored in halls of Congress, because it told the story. At least they didn't hide it. But if you just go read it, you'll find out what really went down. A lot of these reports.
And see, Rev, there's a structuration of crime. You may sell a crack on the street, but the rich white boys come in and buy the crack and go back to the offices. Then you get caught and swooped up by the authorities, and your face is painted throughout America as the criminal, whereby the white people who bought the drugs from you get to go back in their cushy jobs and make policy against you while you're in prison.
Okay, we want to stop that. That's what we want to stop. That's what I want these young guys to know. There's something else you can do with your time, you do with your thoughts, you can do with your energy other than get caught up in that. Let me recognize caller from 309-5199. Welcome to Talk Street. From the top history of urban and what we can learn from them. Question or comment?
How y'all doing?
Hey.
How you doing? I'm all right. I had to use someone else's phone, but I just wanted to tap in for a minute.
You sounded strong, my sister. Is that Mama G out of Peoria, Illinois?
Yes, sir. That's who she is.
You're going to have to use this phone more often because you phone tonight, girl.
Oh, wow. Oh. Isn't that imagine that?
Okay.
Lavelle said it. I'm sorry, Lavelle said hi to everyone. I'm on his phone.
Tell him I said hello. So New Orleans was making a look like we just lost her there. Maybe she'll call us back. New Orleans, you were making a very interesting point and a very necessary one too. Because at the end of the day, that's really sometimes New Orleans, I hear people and I've been doing this for a little while, and even when I was traveling, some people wonder why I was airing dirty laundry of our people. And I would often tell them, don't look at it that way. Don't look at it as an indictment. But me and everybody else should look at it. And I believe that's essentially where Pastor Wally is. Rather than find reason to point a finger at yourself or blame yourself, focus on what it is you can learn from the mistakes that were made. And how we can, more importantly, use that as a teaching tool so that this generation can break that cycle. Does that make sense, New Orleans? Because you're right. You're absolutely right. Pastor Waller would tell you that he had some pretty wealthy people that he used to serve when he was in the game. And you can read about it. He can tell his own story. But the fact of the matter is the low man is the one that wound up going to jail. And he didn't even bring the dope to the neighborhood. He was just out there distributing. He was just a little foot soldier. He wasn't even a general in the game. But you follow what I'm saying, New Orleans?
I hear what you're saying, Rev, but I think that, again, when you look at the work of Fred Hampton and Malcolm X, who lived in that street world, he explained to the people what the world was made of and what it consisted of. He didn't go to the person on the street and then condemn them to hell. He condemned the world that they were brought into and how the world produced them and their bad behavior.
All right, so let me challenge your position with this. The world. I'm going to use your phrase, the world. And let's bring that more closer to the city or the state that these young folk live in. What is it that they can do in their localities, in their state, in their cities, for themselves, that would allow themselves to rise above suspicion and even the negative stigmas that are often associated with just living in a certain zip code? You know, you grow up, you're born in a certain zip code, you're marked in a sense. In fact, prisons are built based on who's born in those zip codes, right? Under certain socioeconomic circumstances. So I hope you understand where I'm going. What is it that we can do in those areas to let them know that this is a reality, but more than just being mad, what is it we can do about it? You want to speak to that, New Orleans, and then
I think it's like the birds and the bees. You have to tell young people about sex so they don't think that a stork delivers a baby on the doorstep. It's the same way with what we identify as criminal behavior in the young people. You give them knowledge about the world you live in and the traps that are set and why the traps are set and how they have to avoid it. But you don't just come to them as if they themselves are the evil ones. You have to explain the world to them. how the world works, what traps are set for them, how to avoid the traps. And I don't think we do a good job of that. We just do this thing called self-esteem and role models. So that's all we do, role models. But again, I think just one example, I think Malcolm X set the example on how you reach the masses of people who are down at the bottom and how you inspire them to do better for themselves.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Pastor. Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Wallace. Go ahead.
Let me share something with you. Let me share something with you, if we are based on the trap, all right?
Please.
If you don't know that there's a trap, you're not going to avoid no trap if you don't know there's a trap. You know, I don't care.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. You got to give them knowledge.
Hold up. Hold it. Just wait. I'm an innocent little kid. I was not trying to get in no trap. Is what I'm saying. And so you don't. A trap is not something that you are supposed to see if it's made to capture you. I played basketball and played other games of sports. I played sports, okay? Still playing. And my coach would put a trap together, and whoever we played against, they did not get out of that trap. They didn't know it was coming. And when he put the trap down, it's designed to trap you. Now, it was innocent, I'm talking about, playing sports. That was innocent. We shook each other's hand after the game is over. Had love for each other. But the bottom line, a trap is set, and then I'm giving you what the scripture said. I'm not talking about what I said. I didn't know anything about the scripture then. But to come up now and to escape and then find out years later that the scripture said that we may come to our senses and escape the trap, having been taken captive by the devil to do his will. In other words, now that I know, I can escape that trap if you try to come back to me with that same technique, is what I'm saying. But these kids do not know anything about a trap. Mm-hmm. And that's why it takes people to get out on the ground to reach them right where they are before they get into the trap. That'll be beautiful.
You're saying nothing different. You're saying nothing different than what I was saying.
Let me get finished, if you will. What I'm saying is that I don't know nothing about a lot of things. But what I do know, I know about a dope trap. I can school somebody about that because I experienced it for 20-plus years of my life. I can't tell the people about a whole lot of other traps. I may get into another kind of trap that I don't see. But the ones that I know about, I can escape them, is what I'm saying. You're not going to escape a trap that you don't know that is a trap. If it's there to capture you, you are getting captured. I'm talking about me. That's what happened to me. So I'm saying that. Don't make it seem like these kids are trying to run into a trap. They want to be in a trap. That's not the case. I know these kids do not want to be in no trap. Some of them in a trap right now don't even know they're in a trap. And it's going to take them years before they realize that it was a trap that they was in. It's sad what's going on around here, man. And I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to have to turn it over. Pastor Docker, you remember earlier when you said that I don't trust myself, that the reason why I gave you the scripture to verify, the enemy loves people who trust themselves. And I'm not talking about kids, grown folks also. When a person is trusting their own heart, that's what a fool is. That's how I got caught into the trap, being a fool. Proverbs chapter 28:26 says, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walks wisely shall be delivered. That's the reason why I can escape traps that I've already been in, so I won't go back into them traps anymore because I've already escaped them. But it's tough, man. It's not easy. Them kids need somebody to be out there trying to reach them, man. Pastor Doc, keep doing it. Just keep doing it,
okay,
man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, let me – New Orleans wanted to respond. I think you were saying something. What were you saying that, New Orleans?
Yeah. What I was saying, if anyone was listening to me, is that we need to teach these young people the situation of the world and the trap set for them. Had you, let's say, Reverend Waller, had that as part of your teaching and exposure, then maybe you would not have grown through the experience yet. That's what I'm saying. We are not doing a good job of showing these young people how the world is set up and how they are is designed for them to be the face of all what's supposed to be bad in this country and show them the traps. We can't just role model. This is what we do, role model. We're going to get a role model and self-esteem type thing. But we don't peel the orange and peel the onion for these young people and say, look, this is at the core of all this. When you leave out of school and you go out there and you participate in this, they want you to do it so they can put you in jail, so on and so forth. Enough of us are not doing that, and the young people are not getting that type of explanation in the schools that they attend during the daytime. So then they are left to themselves to try to navigate this world all by themselves. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'm listening to everything you're saying. I'm definitely listening to you. I've been listening to you from the start, every word.
I appreciate that. And the reality is that's the function of the talk stream. Some people don't like how hard we come with the facts about what we see in the mirror. But that's the best way for us to peel that onion you described. It's sometimes when you peel an onion, it can burn your eyes. It'll burn your eyes. But guess what? When you get through peeling, drop in a little flour with some seasoning and then fry it up, man, that's a good meal right there. Boy, your breath will be stinky when you get through, but it's a good meal. Is that right, Mama D?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't never cooked nothing like that.
That's homemade gravy. Make it all the time, baby.
Help us, Holy Ghost. You want to come in?
I really don't want to touch bases on that too much, but I will say I agree with both people, Pastor Wallace as well as the other gentleman.
New Orleans, yes. Brother Warren out of New Orleans.
New Orleans. Okay, New Orleans. To a certain degree.
Okay.
There's a lot of things kids out here don't know, and there's a reason for that. These are the signs of the time. However, the generation, middle age generation, or beneath that, some of them don't know to teach their children that, and has not taught them that. So everything that glistens is not gold.
I got it.
They think it's all good because they may come from poverty and don't have much if somebody flashes a few dollars or something in their face, and they think, okay, this is my ticket out, which is the trap, as you guys call it.
Absolutely.
But they don't know any. Since they don't know, they will take that. Who wants to suffer?
Right.
You know, who wants, even kids, they may be young and ignorant towards things, many things, but there's also a lot of grown-ups that's ignorant towards the many things out there because they do not know, and the trap, as you guys call it, is out there waiting on them.
Absolutely.
And it will suck you up if you're not careful.
It will show get you.
That's the argument I'm making. See, you have how many churches and so-called prophets and ministries you have out here? They're not telling this to these young people. They're not teaching them this. We know the young people don't know there's a trap. We know. So that's the point I'm saying, that the other adults in the schools and even the other adults who are supposed to want to help in the community, they're not talking to the young people and giving them knowledge about how the world works. You can come at a person about their shortcomings. You can come at a person about the wrong things they're doing. But you give the person knowledge about how the world they live in, how it operates. Because, see, you'll get on them, and then they'll go right to some other respectable authorities in the community while they're doing wrongdoing, and nobody's telling them anything.
Well, let me say this. You're making a point, and I agree with you. I agree. I think we're all in agreement. But I'll say this. If you catch a stallion in the wild and you expect them to be calm and to be obedient to your expectations, you're deceiving yourself. What you have to do, what horse trainers do, is they capture the beast first, and then there's a process by which they condition the beast to calm down, first of all, and to connect with the beast such that the beast can be retrained to the proper behavior. Now, when I say beast, I'm talking about myself, because I'm a beast from the ghettos of Chicago. Glory be to God. But guess what? circumstances has allowed me to be humble and accept the knowledge that Pastor Wallace talked about, the existence of this trap. It's still here in 2021. On this February 18th, at around 8:05 Central Standard, the trap is real. And there's some folk caught up, and they're not all babies either. There's some grown folk caught up in this trap. You hear what I'm saying? And if we are willing to be humble, like the text says in 2 Chronicles 7:40, if my people just humble themselves, see, we done got bold in our mess, and we happy with what we're doing. We ain't trying to change. And when I say we, I'm speaking collectively about people that look like me, that come from a similar experience, who I know can do better. And where I can do better, I'm going to work to do better. And I'm going to share that with others. That's what it's really all about. Not pointing a finger blame, not causing anyone to feel as though target or anything like that.
But how do one do better? How do one do better? And let me say this, Reb, to all of those. Let me say this to all of those who grew up in the projects or from the street who were part of gangs, and they say that that's, you know, they know because I didn't grow up that way. The Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton and Malcolm X, did an excellent job in reaching those people at that level. And I still think that they hold a higher standard on how you reach those people and what type of information and knowledge and community organizing you do to reach people in that situation.
Okay.
I was inspired by all of them in my younger days.
And they're dead now.
Who's that speaking right now?
We're here. It's our duty now.
But guess what? They're dead, but their speeches and their writings are still reaching people today, even in prison. So their work is still alive. The legacy they left around is still alive.
We have to embody that, big brother. We have to be the ones to represent that today in 2021. Because most of these cats don't know nothing about Fred Hampton and Malcolm or none of them cats. They don't have a clue about it. We don't. That's the point. Let me bring the brother out of 5199. He was trying to say something. We got Chicago. We shortened our show tonight, so we got about another 22 minutes. I'm here from you, Chicago, but Peoria, 5199. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, look, how I look at it, humbling thyself, meaning speaking calm and relax, because you can't come to another brother with, you know what I'm saying, aggressiveness within you. And
okay,
to smooth the situation and the conversation when you speak upon what you need to do to address that one individual or more individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking, you know, hey, I'm 50 years old. I'll be 50. I'm 49. I've been raised up in the game. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? But I have good people surround me and try to help me get through all the aspects of life and all this other stuff, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it all came down to who I was or who I wanted to be.
Right.
Like, I want to tell you this, and this is going to be real quick. I was supposed to get initiated into a game. I asked to beg to get into a game because I just thought, you know, that's where it was at, but... And when it first came down to it, when they talking about they couldn't brand me and all this other stuff, and I said, no. And then they get to burning the cat and all this old goofy stuff. I was like, oh, no. I said, my Lord won't let me do that. And so I had to get what they would call 50 to the head or 50 to the chest or whatever. Super stuff was, you know, but at the same time, I'm sorry for, you know, lingering on, but I'm just trying to make that clear. But how it came to them, you know, it was like it was aggressiveness towards it.
Yeah.
But it took my best friend, the one that told me not to get into it, to tell them, look, I'm going to be the one that do all this. And he came and whispered in my ear, he said, act like I'm hurting you. I'm going to hurt I'm going to hit you. Now, it may hurt a little bit, but I'm not going to do what they're going to do to you. You see what I'm saying? Because everybody get their chance to give you 50 to the head to, you know, a piece.
Sure.
Anyway, but I'm saying that to say this, you know, just be calm. As black folks, we need to be calm with each other and have a more tempered voice. You know what I'm saying? Because we all are a part of God creation.
Yes, sir.
We know we are the chosen ones. I'm not going to get into all that, but just be tempered.
That's a good thing. You own the book, right? You own, and let me stay right there. Let me bring you in Chicago 3661. Our topic is history of American urban American game. What we can learn from them. That's really what our focus is tonight. I think in general we're all on one accord that there are some things we can learn. And guess what? I know one guy. I ain't gonna call his name. But I know one guy who's been focused on that for a long time and still doing that. But go ahead, 3661.
Well, I jumped in the conversation late, but I can feel the vibe, and it sounds like the pulse is brewing right now. But I would say that it is true that we can learn from different type of organizations to be able to organize ourselves and get something from what they principles and purpose is. I learned some from some brothers I was talking to that if you don't have no purpose, I don't even want to talk to you, is what they said. And one thing from that I think we can learn is to, as black males or black people, is to generate a purpose and be focused on that purpose. That's what I would say.
That's right. That's right. Well, let me say this. Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to, our time, we shortened our show tonight, but I want to say this in the last 17 minutes. I want to explain. I began in the monologue defining GAIN as a organization driven by illegal activity. That's how they fund and sustain themselves historically. And I want to explain that as related to urban American neighborhoods like the one I grew up in, where it was easy to get caught up in the game and in the gang and all the other things that came with it, just like Pastor was talking about. Here's what I want us to walk away with from this discussion tonight. Criminal mentality is generally driven by social, economic, and even political inequities. Where people experience a certain experience that caused them to either be in a perceived or real oppressive type of circumstance. Now, we can be mad as all get out. We can go to swinging at the air if we want to. But the rational thing to do is, like my brother said at 5199, be calm and ask yourself, how did I get where I am? What must I do to get out of this trap? Brief story about a bird. His bird was caught, a beautiful bird, a blue jay, and he was domesticated in a bird cage. And his owner would feed it and fell in love with it. And every time he'd come by, he'd look at the bird and ask him, why do you look so sad? Why do you look so sad? The bird would only tweet, 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 elite. And what the owner didn't understand the bird was saying is that all you got to do is give me the right moment and opportunity, and I'm up out of here. So one day the owner was walking past the bird, and he looked in the cage, and he saw the bird laying on the floor of the cage. And the owner said, oh, my God, what is wrong? He went and opened the cage, and before he done, bam, that bird jumped up and flew out of there. All the bird needed was the right what? Moment in time to bust his move, and it was all over. He was free. He was free.
He found the time to do it. Yeah.
In 2021, all we got to do is to calmly wait, look, analyze, my brothers and sisters. And the moment will come when you can break free. Don't be afraid to bust that move, though, because your time is busy. Listen, ain't nothing stopping you but air and opportunity. I got 15 minutes. Let me go around a little bit and wrap this conversation up. Great conversation. Great conversation, guys. Is Mama D there? Can somebody get Mama D on the line, please?
Mama D's on the line, darling.
Thank you very much. I want to I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to this last thought, and that is we don't want to beat up on young people. We don't want to demonize them, and we do not want them to feel as though they are the problem. That's what my brother out of New Orleans said. I agree with him 100%. But Mama D, do we want to lie to them about the reality of where they are and why they need to stop certain actions? Do we want to lie to them about that?
Not at all. Because as hurtful as the truth is at times, it is what it is. It's the truth. And the truth can only help you or set you free. Regardless of whether, when you do it, you might say, why did I do that? But the outcome of it is, nobody else gets the chance to tell your story the way that it was told correctly. Tell it the right way.
That'll preach right there, girl. Yeah, that's an African proverb that goes something like, until the lion it tells his own story, he'll always be the hunter. Until the lion gets to tell his own, he'll always be the hunter. So that's a powerful thought there. Okay, okay. What about it, Chicago? You want to speak to that right quickly, and we'll go around the room here. Chicago?
I would say this. If we can stop being afraid of freedom, I think we'll be all right, because freedom represents change, and people tell you all the time that the most feared thing from other folks or anybody is change, because it's different.
That's true.
I believe that'll preach right there, sir. That'll preach right there. Okay. You want to speak to that, New Orleans?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate, I mentioned last week, in the Greek philosopher Plato, in his book called The Republic, he tells a lot of allegories. He tells stories to get to a point. And in one of his stories called The Ship of State, he talks about the ship. And then the owner of the ship was a metaphor for, like, the people. And then the sailors who were arguing with each other were like the politicians. But it was the navigator who didn't have nothing to do with the politician and the owner that knew how to navigate that ship. So I created an allegory of myself, leaders of the street. You have these young people walking down this long street, and you have bad things to entice them, but you also have people who are really good people who want to entice them to do good. So as they come down the street, they come across one minister. We'll call him Reverend I Was. And he would tell the young people, you know, I was like you. I was angry like you. I was in the street like you. And then he quotes scriptures, and he look at him and walk off. And then they come across another preacher. He's a little bit more refined and sharp and dressed up. We'll call him Reverend Stop It. And he would tell the young people, y'all need to stop it. They need to stop protesting. And he quotes scripture, they look at him and run off. Then they got a person with the Nation of Islam who got a final call that's being sold. And he said, hey, young brothers and sisters, buy this paper. And on the front of the paper is an article about the murder of George Floyd. But the young people wasn't feeling Islam. But down at the end of the street, there was a bookstore called the House of Light. And the bookstore was open, and it sat on the corner of the main street and the cross street. And the sunshine from the sun was reflected to that bookstore. And when he walked into the bookstore, there was an elderly guy sitting down reading. And he said, hey, young people, how y'all doing? They said, we fine. We just passing all these people on the street trying to preach to us. And then he said, oh, they don't mean no harm. Here, look at this book over here. Have you heard of Reverend Nat Turner? He led a slave revolt. The young people said, wow. Yeah, he was Christian. Have you heard of Reverend Denmark Vesey? He got angry. He was mad. He wanted to do something about slavery in Charleston, South Carolina. You heard about him? No. Look at these bad brothers here. Absalom Jones and Richard Allen. They were so mad at the church, they started their own church called the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And the elder said to them, you see, young people, it's not that Christianity is irrelevant. It is relevant. But those guys you ran across down the street, they are irrelevant. They look at you through the eyes of other people. But you are here in a house of light. to get knowledge. So I tell you what, y'all pick the book you want. I'm going to buy it for you, but promise me you'll come back next week telling me what you read in the book. The young people got their books, walked off in the sunlight, and the elders sat back down and read. We need to make sure our young people are navigators, that they have knowledge to navigate this ship of life.
Okay. I appreciate that. And guess what? Guess what? I'm so happy that there is a man in the land who's come to bring light to the dark, to bring freedom to the oppressed, and to bring knowledge to those who desperately need the bread of knowledge. We're grateful that they're here tonight. We're on the air with them right now, talking straight. Appreciate that, my brother. Appreciate that. Well, listen, we cut our show a little short tonight because we got to get to other things, but we'll be back next week. I want to reiterate this. Mama D, I got a young lady coming on here who's sharp as a tack. And she's starting a new blog show. She's bringing some of what we're talking about from a lady's perspective, a young lady perspective. And I listened to her, and we had some really good conversation. She's going to be starting her own thing. We're going to have on as our guest next week, either Tuesday or Thursday.
Okay.
I haven't decided yet. But I want to, and she's local here to Middle Tennessee. In our discussion, she's old enough to be my daughter, Pastor Waller. But sharp as a tack, and I think she has an opportunity to really balance for our young men how you don't have to compete and be at war with your sisters, but you can work as one good. I'm excited about having her come on and let
I'm getting excited listening to you talk about it.
Now y'all know what I'm all about is empowering young men to be men. Now, and not to have any question or doubt about that at all. Y'all know that, right? And I shared that with her. She understands that. But she's going to bring a perspective, I think, that will be eye-opening and that is very useful in the grand scheme of things to get us where we need to be. So we appreciate that. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and cut out of here. I hate to we usually do a two-hour show, but we've been modifying it because y'all know I have a business to run, and I got to crunch some more numbers tonight. You understand?
Yes.
So we're going to come back with y'all next Tuesday, though. We're going to try to do this two-hour thing next Tuesday and Thursday, Lord willing. But we appreciate everybody for joining us here tonight.
Okay, and I love you guys, and I'm going to get off first, if I may interrupt you, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Glory be to God. Hopefully we all stay safe and make it through this storm, because the storm will come the day it'll be over. And y'all take care, and I really appreciate everybody's voice and opinion. It's good to hear from you guys.
Tell my brother.
Hey, what's good? Take care of yourself.
Tell my brother came on with I love him like peanut butter, love jelly on wheat bread. Now put mine on wheat with a cold glass of chocolate milk.
Yes, sir. So we'll do that. Now, you guys take care now.
All right, now. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Right quick, 61, give me something to hold on to before we throw the ball to basketball.
I say once again, man, let's embrace freedom, man. A change is good. In the words of the brother Pastor Wallace, he say he come that he give you life, and that more abundantly. And that's what freedom is, my friend.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm
trying to
stick
this
shit on me tonight. Well, I'm up, man.
That's it, brother.
Appreciate you. New Orleans, right quickly. Give me 30 seconds, man, before we throw the ball past the ball here.
Oh, we need to seek knowledge. Knowledge will free us. It will give us wisdom, and it will give us appropriate thinking and thought.
Amen. 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 Thank you, my friend. We appreciate you joining us tonight. And with that, Pastor Waller, we turn it over to you, man, to wrap us up for
the night. Amen. You know, the words say, well, there's two or three gathered together in my name, touching and agreeing, that he said he would be in the midst of us. And I love that, because with him in the midst, everything's going to be all right. I like it when he says, in all of your ways, not some of your ways, not most of your ways, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Hey, man, look here. He can't help but direct your path because you're making it known that in all of your ways. And I love that because he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know what I like about that, Pastor Dockery? I found out that work, man. I stopped leaning to my own understanding, and I got free, like my brother was talking about, from an addiction that caused me to be able to think I was going to use drugs the rest of my life. But I thank God every day, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is good news. And if he said if I'd be ashamed of him, he said he would be ashamed of me. That means I got to tell it everywhere I go. You know what John 8:32 says? He said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I've been lying too long enough. I thank God for the truth because it did make me free. And somebody needs to know on the outside that the word of God does say, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. And after that, it's settled. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
I was in Cleveland, Ohio this past weekend at a young man's apartment, and I looked on his bookshelf and I saw two books. One was entitled Still High, and the other one Flipped. I said, my God, how did they get all the way to Cleveland?
My goodness. Watch out now.
But it's all good, man. It's all good. We'll keep putting it out
there.
That's
all right.
And we'll keep on feeding the sheep. We'll keep on feeding. Peter got caught up with the Savior, and the Savior told him, Peter, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I know you did your thing. Just bear the hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
If you love me, keep my feet, and they will live.
Go ahead.
We'll come next week for another episode of Talk Straight. Don't let nobody catch you riding dirty.
My goodness.
And what? Say what? Don't let them catch you. Just don't let them catch you.